What you see is what you get.
Hello, my name is Pastor Chris Miller, and I am your host on the PC Speaking Podcast, where we are equipping Christians for life. Hello, and welcome to the PC Speaking Podcast. My name is Chris, and I am your host. And I want to say thank you for taking the time to listen in. I certainly appreciate that. Please like, share, comment, do all those things. If you know someone who might find this helpful, please share it with them. Today, we're talking about doing the right thing, why morality matters. Don't lie. I suppose you could say tell the truth as well, but sometimes you can say something as a positive do something statement, like tell the truth, and then you can turn it around and say it in a negative way as a don't do something statement, like don't lie. In the books of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, towards the end of the New Testament, John does that quite a bit. He makes a statement and then restates it in the reverse to reinforce his point. And today, in talking about why morality matters, I had to think about, should this be titled, Tell the Truth or Don't Lie? And I decided to go with Don't Lie. And I suppose either one would work, but in this case, I am taking my cue from Exodus chapter 20, where there is a negative don't do this statement. Exodus 20:16 says, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." And I wouldn't be surprised if you recognize that verse. It's number 9 in the 10 commandments. It wasn't stated as tell the truth, which of course we should, but the commandment says, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." And I think there's something to that. Now we're going to read from Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. You're welcome to just listen, to follow along in your Bible, on your phone, however you like to do that. We're going to read Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 10, and this is what these verses say. It says, "Now a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property. He kept back part of the proceeds with his wife's knowledge and brought a part of it and placed it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, 'Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to deceive the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, was it not your own? And then when it was sold, was it not under your authority? Why have you conceived this deed in your heart? You did not lie to men, but to God.' On hearing these words, Ananias fell down and died. And a great fear came on all those who heard these things. The young men rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter said to her, 'Tell me whether you sold the land for this amount.' She said, 'Yes, for that much.' And Peter said to her, 'How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out.' At once, she fell down at his feet and died. Upon entering, the young men found her dead and carried her out and buried her beside her husband." Well, today, our title is Don't Lie. Someone could reasonably ask, wouldn't tell the truth or don't lie be pretty much the same thing? And they're definitely related, but they're not exactly the same thing. When we lie or tell stories that are untrue, even if we don't consciously think I am telling a lie, but we act on a presumption or we act on false information, we are still being deceptive. We're still bearing false witness, and that does damage. That's why it's important to not lie. It hurts people. It weakens relationships. It weakens our society, our community. The world can't function properly if we bear false witness. And that's the way it is with a lot of things. God tells us not to do things because there are consequences for those things. And that's why the particular moral practice of avoiding telling lies matters. That's why it's important. Using deceptive language, believing and acting on things that are not true, jumping to conclusions. If we don't realize we're doing it, are destructive and harmful. And I don't think anyone is innocent when it comes to not lying. We have all likely embellished the truth at some point, shared some gossip that wasn't completely true, jumped to conclusions that weren't true, whatever. Or we just outright lied to avoid a potentially difficult situation. Most people would say that lying's not okay, but the reality is that everyone does it. And most people are, to some degree, okay with it, including Christians. We tell lies so much that we become accustomed to it. We do it even when there's no need to do it, no reason for it. And we say we're going to do something and we don't. We say we're going to show up for something, for an event or whatever, and then we never do. And I can't tell you how many times I've had someone tell me, see you at church on Sunday, and then they don't show up. And we say, for instance, I'm going to start exercising, but we never do. We lie to each other. We lie to ourselves. And we do that all the time. And we treat those lies like they are harmless. But are they really harmless, even if that's the normal and accepted thing to do? And there are several times, you know, people lied in the Bible, and we can see the consequences of that. One of those we've talked about many times in the podcast is Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, where Satan says to Eve, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God." You know, of course, speaking about the fruit God told them not to eat, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it's interesting, when you look at what he said was actually true, but it was also deceptive. It was more than not telling the truth. It was a false witness. And he said, "You will not surely die," which in that moment was true. They wouldn't die immediately, but they would die eventually. He said, "Your eyes will be opened," which that's also true. Just a couple verses later, exactly what Satan said came to pass. The exact wording is, "The eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked." So their eyes were open, just like Satan said they would be. And they did become like God in the sense that now they knew the difference between right and wrong, but they didn't understand the consequences of sin and evil, or the shame that would come with that knowledge. Now, we all know the difference, and we have to live with that in our world today. So Satan uses truth to deceive. And he tried that with Jesus as well. He even quotes scripture to Jesus. Satan didn't lie to Eve or Jesus, but he does try to get them to question what is true. And deception can be a very foggy thing. It almost always involves at least some truth, but it's twisted and it's intended to mislead. Last Sunday, I was at home, and I normally take a Sunday afternoon nap. It's just like the rhythm that my body is in on Sunday afternoon. It is time to take a nap. I'm pretty exhausted by that time of the week. And I woke up from my nap and I looked at my text messages, and I had a message from the bank that said a transaction had been declined and to give the bank a call. And of course, I thought, as you would, that's weird. And I'm super cautious about these kinds of things. But it was from the bank. It was from the number I normally receive those kinds of texts from. I could scroll back and see the other text from the bank in that same thread. And it's supposed to be a secure number. I can't see what the number is. I can just see who it's from. So I called the number and went through the menu option, press 1 for this, 2 for that, you know, all that stuff that you normally do. And I was put on hold, as you always are. And I was listening to elevator music, and they finally pick up and said, "This is so-and-so from such-and-such bank. How can I help you?" And I said, "I received a message saying my account had a withdrawal attempt." And they asked me, "So, okay, what's your reference number?" And I said, "Here it is. This is it." "And okay, it looks like someone attempted to withdraw from your account, and it was blocked for security reasons. But we'll need to do some things to secure your account." And it was at this point that something tripped in my head. I was thinking, something's not right here. I really couldn't put my finger on it, but I knew something was up. And they wanted me to do something strange with my online account. And I said, well, I'm just not comfortable doing that. And they said, well, if we don't take care of this now, we'll have to freeze your accounts until we can mitigate the risk or whatever it was they said. And I said, yeah, just freeze it. I'll go sort it out in person on Monday. And they said, I'll put you through to accounts or something like that. And then they put me on hold and then it disconnected. And that was the most convincing scam I've ever been approached with. The text came through the bank's message system, which was, you know, made me think it was a real thing. They had the menu, they put me on hold, they had the elevator music, the recording from the bank, everything. And I was certainly glad that I told them to freeze the account. And as I thought about it, I thought that's kind of similar to what Satan did, using a line of communication that's normally true to be deceptive. And that's a sickening feeling when you know someone has tried to deceive you, especially if they do. If that's ever happened to you, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And, you know, you can kind of imagine how Adam and Eve felt when Satan deceived Eve. But at the same time, you know, do you ever wonder, is it ever okay to tell a lie? And in the past, I've said multiple times that lies are always destructive. You should always tell the truth. You should never lie. But as you do with some things, as you learn and grow and get older, I'm not so sure about that now. You know, I heard someone ask, well, what say that I would lie to protect my kids. And I thought, well, I suppose I would too. And there are often things in the Bible that push us to rethink what we think. And there are lies told by people in the Bible that seem to have a positive outcome. Think about the Hebrew midwives. When the Israelites were slaves in Egypt, Pharaoh told the midwives, if a Hebrew woman gives birth to a son, kill the baby. If it's a girl, let it live. And the Hebrew midwives told Pharaoh that the babies were born before they could get there, which seems to be a lie, but God bless them. And through that, the Hebrew midwives saved the lives of many Hebrew babies because they lied. Rahab the harlot is another example. She lied to save the lives of some Israelite spies. God spared her when the walls of Jericho fell. So are lies always wrong and destructive? Well, there seem to be some examples of lives that God was okay with and that even produced some positive results. And there are others that are very much destructive and have terrible results. Ananias and Sapphira are one of the examples of bad results. They sold a piece of property, they gave part of the proceeds to the church, but kept back part for themselves. And it's not really an issue that they kept part for themselves, but the problem was they lied and said they had given all of it. And I think the reason they lied had a lot to do with self-glorification. They lied not only about what they did, but who they were, and they died because of it. When you think about it, it's similar in some ways to Adam and Eve believing Satan. They believed that they could be like God in having his knowledge. Ananias and Sapphira believed they could be like God in that they were worthy of praise. And a lie is often just that. It's a means of self-glorification. That when we lie, that's a very common reason why we do it, self-glorification. It's kind of like that old joke about fishermen, early to bed, early to rise, fish all day and make up lies. And the idea being to lie about the amount and size of fish you catch to make yourself seem like a better fisherman, self-glorification. And although being able to take pictures with your phone and social media has made it far more difficult to lie about your fish these days, Ananias and Sapphira dropping dead, you know, that seems pretty harsh, especially for the New Testament and in New Testament church. Fortunately for us, God doesn't generally kill us because we don't tell the whole truth or we use it out of context or something like that. Not to say he couldn't, he just generally doesn't. But God has given us this particular example to consider. Like other stories in the Bible, it's always good to consider, what does God want me to know from this event, this story in the Bible, whatever it might be? And we learn tend to learn more from examples and stories than we do just being told something directly. And that's one of the many reasons that Jesus used a lot of parables. And I've heard this passage explained as God expects purity and righteousness among his people, which is true. And I think that's walking down the right path, but it's not quite at the destination yet. Why does a lie matter so much to God? Why is a lie so repulsive, so much so, in fact, that it would lead to a consequence of immediate death in the case of Ananias and Sapphira? And that speaks to the whole point of this series of podcasts we've been going through, why morality matters. And I think part of the reason we have the story of Ananias and Sapphira is to show us that lies and deception are very serious. They have very serious consequences. Why does God say, don't bear false witness against your neighbor? In this case, you know, a neighbor is anyone you come into contact with. And there are very practical reasons for a culture and society, not just Christians, but everyone, not to lie. It really does matter. A culture and society can't grow, prosper, or be perpetuated on lies. It just won't work. One of the foundational parts of a society is a justice system. And that's partly why the Israelites were given the law in the Old Testament. You know, when they left Egypt, they had no system of anything. And the Old Testament law was setting up Israel to function as a nation. God gave them the law as a foundation for their society. And there are a lot of Levitical laws. And one of those, one of the Ten Commandments, is don't bear false witness. And that's a foundational part of a culture and society. For a culture, a society, a community, a family, a marriage to prosper, people can't be lying to each other. For a justice system to work, lies cannot be part of it. It has to be founded in truth. For justice to work, it can't operate on lies. And what that does is that puts responsibility on everyone who is part of that community, from something as small as two people in a marriage relationship all the way up to a big city. For that community of people to function, it just can't be perpetuated on lies. It won't work. Now, here's another example of why we can't lie and expect society to prosper. I can remember back when online shopping was a new thing, and you couldn't do a whole lot. I think one of the first things you could do was order flowers and do a few other things. And obviously that has grown exponentially to the point where a lot of people do most of their shopping online now because it's super convenient. But I remember when I first did some online shopping and thinking, I don't know if I want to give my credit card information to some random website. I don't know if I'm comfortable with this. And it took me a while to warm up to that. I just didn't trust it. And I thought, okay, if I can go into a store and speak to a person and actually have my goods in hand, you know, I can live with that. But online shopping, well, that was a big step for me. And, you know, now I do it all the time and hardly think about it. But most people do. But for online shopping to function, there has to be a lot of trust between people, in, you know, between you and people you've never met. And if you get burned, you will be far more cautious and less likely to spend money in the future. So online shopping requires a tremendous amount of trust, and it's prospered because there's actually a lot of trust there. And one of the most precious commodities in any economic system is just that trust. If consumers don't trust vendors and vendors don't trust consumers, it's not going to work. The economy won't work. A justice system and the economy are foundational parts of any society. And neither one of those can prosper if they operate on lies. And we're followers of Jesus, and we know we shouldn't lie, but there's good reason to not lie. God forgives sin, and if you are a saved believer, you are secure in Jesus. You know, God loves me no matter what. I'm saved even if I do lie, but at the same time, you know, don't lie because it matters. It's important not to. It's more than just purity for purity's sake. It has to do with the fact that you and I represent God to other people, and how we represent God matters. You know, we don't want to be overly harsh with that, because at some point we're all going to mess it up. We're going to lie. But we want to do the best we can day by day, because it does matter. You know, God's people have always represented God on earth, and you and I are God's people. The nation of Israel was meant to represent God to other people in the Old Testament, in the world of the day. That's in part why they were given the Old Testament law. And God says, you're my people, you represent me, this is what I want that to look like. Commandment number 9, don't bear false witness, because false witness would not represent who God is. And we can say that about all of God's moral commands. And I don't think the land that God promised to Israel was just a random plot of land either. Israel is strategically and geographically placed by God. When you look at Israel, it's just a small strip of land along the Mediterranean Sea. But when you look at where God placed Israel, especially back in the day when they came out of Egypt and they settled in the land of Israel after they'd wandered in the desert for 40 years, but any trade route between Africa and Europe and Asia would have to pass through Israel. Nobody was out there traveling in the desert out to the east of Israel there. And that's why God chose to place the Israelites where he did. The whole world was going to travel through the promised land, and the world was going to learn about who God is from the Israelites. And God says, don't bear false witness. And when the time was right, Jesus was born and the gospel would travel to all parts of the world from Israel. And then once that happened, there were people all over the world who were becoming Christians. Churches are planted all over the known world. And now God has people who represent him everywhere, including where I am, including where you are. And if you are a saved believer, you are God's representative here on earth. And what does that mean? Well, the great majority of the time, unbelievers get their perception of who God is by looking at you and me. You know, you may have heard it said that you may be the only Bible that people read. And there is some merit to that. You know, where the unbelievers get their perception of who God is from people who claim to be Christians, like you and me. You're part of God's family, and regardless of your location, anytime anyone passes through your life, online, offline, in person, reads your comments, whatever, you represent God. And I've been thinking about that a lot lately. And, you know, that doesn't mean you have to be uptight or weird or anything like that. God made you who you are, and you will be at your best when you are not bearing false witness to who God created you to be. But God wants us to do that in a way that represents who he is to the world around us, to your community, wherever you might be. A justice system and an economy can't operate without truth and without trust. And you and I can't rightly represent God and bear false witness at the same time, because God is always trustworthy and he is always truth. And if we are not trustworthy, we misrepresent God. So how we treat what is true reveals what we really think about God. And I know if you're anything like me, and I'm sure in this aspect you probably are, you and I wouldn't want someone misrepresenting us, misrepresenting who we are. And God doesn't want that either. And that's one of the reasons God is very serious about not lying. Ananias and Sapphira were lying to their church and glorifying themselves. And when we lie, we misrepresent who God is, because he doesn't lie. He is so true that what he speaks becomes reality. When we lie, we give an impression. We say God's holiness really doesn't matter that much, and he's not really trustworthy. Nobody's perfect. We all mess that up at times. Sometimes the best thing we can do is be truthful about the fact that we've been untruthful. and admit that we have lied to someone, we've misrepresented who God is. And sometimes people reject God because they just reject God. That's just the way they are. It's not always because someone has done something wrong or harmed them in some way. But the reality is that if you are able to really dig into why someone rejects God or is hostile towards Christianity, or they say, I'm an atheist or whatever, for most people who reject God, they do so because they've had a bad experience. Sometimes people reject God because people who represent him bear a false witness to who he really is. When someone hears that God says, you are sinful, it's important to God that they believe that because God loves them and wants them to know and understand where they stand with him because he wants to save them, just like he's done for the people who have already trusted him. God wants his truth perpetuated by truthful people. He wants everyone to know and believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You see, lying carries with it some pretty big consequences, some eternal ones. There's a big struggle in culture and among Christians with this today, but what someone thinks doesn't change what's true. Lying doesn't change what's true, but it does put you at odds with God and who he expects you to be. Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truly are his delight. You know, God cares whether or not we tell the truth in everything, our finances, our marriage, our relationships. It all matters. So let's take some time this week. Make a note if you need to meditate on this and think about not bearing false witness. You know, think about maybe write down Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truly are his delight. Let's be true. Don't lie. Well, thank you for taking the time to tune in today. Again, I really hope you found this helpful. If you have, share it with someone else who might find it helpful too. And I will look forward to speaking to you again soon. Thank you for taking the time to listen today. Let me know what you think in the comments. Please consider subscribing and sharing this with someone who might find it helpful.